Isaiah 40, starting with verse 21. He says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits, our God, the God we were just singing about. He sits encircled above, enthroned above the circle of the earth. And its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Our God, have you not heard?" Isaiah starts us off with these rhetorical questions, assuming that he's reminding his listeners of something they already know, that they have already heard. Have you not heard? Do you not know? Have you not even been informed or aware of this since the beginning of the earth, that our God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth? What do you think? Can I take a side note? I'll chase a little bunny real quick. I think it's pretty awesome that this was written about 700, 750 BC. That's before Christ. That means it's about 2,000 years before Christopher Columbus, and the Bible was saying that the earth was a circle. I think that's pretty cool. All right, I'm done with that little bunny. We'll get back into this. Our God sits above. He's enthroned above our earth, above our lives, above everything we know. Isaiah continues. He says, "He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. Like a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff." Talking about the rulers of this world. And sometimes rulers of this world don't come in the shape of rulers. Sometimes they're just very influential people and they have a rule of sorts. Like some people in the entertainment business. Actors or actresses or an athlete that has a lot of draw, a lot of influence. And we see these rulers in our world and they come into influence and but then the next day they're gone. And they come and they go and they come and they go and they come and they go and they're rooted and they brought up and as soon as they're brought up, they're blown over. But God, our God that we just sung about, that we just sung to, he is, he was, he always will be the supreme authority over all. He doesn't wither and fade. He doesn't fall down when the wind blows. That's our God. Have you not heard? Do you not know the God you just sung about? He continues. He says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift your eyes and look to heaven. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." I want you to do something for yourselves. Next clear night that you walk outside, I want you to press the pause button on your life. And I want you just to look up in the sky. And I want you to remember this verse in Isaiah 40. I want you to look up in the sky and see all of those stars. And I want you to know that those stars are huge. Our sun is tiny compared to some of those. A speck compared to some of those stars. And not only are they huge in size, they're huge in number. They're vast. And not only that, but they're so far away from each other that it can only be measured in what's called light years, which is like sci-fi, Star Wars, Star Trek stuff. And I want you to look up there and I want you to see that. And I want you to think about this verse that we just read. And I want you to ask yourself, have you not heard? Do you not know the God that you know, the God that calls you into a relationship with him, the God that sent his son because he loved you? He's so powerful and mighty, and he has displayed his power and might for each of us to see on a clear night. His power and might have been displayed. He's physically above our earth. He has authority above our earth, above our lives, and his might and power have been displayed clearly above our earth, above our lives. And Isaiah says this. He says, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? Those are two names for God's people in the Old Testament. So if we were going to kind of modernize this to the church here, it would be something like, why do you say, O church, and complain, O God's people? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Why do you do that? Because sometimes it just, I mean, you know, if we're going to get real here, it feels like sometimes God just isn't there. And we get into this mentality and we think, well, God doesn't care about me, or he's not paying attention to me, or he's not aware of what's going on in my life, or he's not aware of what I'm going through, or how much this hurts, or what I need, because obviously he's not giving me what I think I need because I don't have it, so he must not be paying attention to me. Or maybe you're in the mindset of thinking that maybe the things that you've done are so dark and so dirty that God wouldn't visit you in those places. Or maybe you feel like your life, you've walked off the beaten path so far that you're in the weeds, which that's a restaurant term, being in the weeds. Those of you guys, how many restaurant employees here worked in restaurants? Yeah, you know what being in the weeds is like. Or you're in the jungle, or you're in the rough, you're in the thick. And you think there's no way God's going to come over here into my twisted, messed up life because he doesn't belong here. And we get to thinking these things and we feel like that God's not there, not listening, and not caring, and not... Now, come on, you guys are looking at me like, oh, that poor preacher, that poor... Bless his heart. I'm so sorry he's done this. I'm so sorry he's gone through this. I can't believe he's... Now, come on. Get the faces off. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all felt that way. Isaiah reminds his listeners... Do you not know? Have you not heard who your God is? He knows every star by name. He didn't just make them. He placed them. And we call God our great shepherd. How many of you guys have ever imagined God being the shepherd of the stars? But that verse said that every star, there's not one missing because of his mighty power. He shepherds the stars. And yet we say, he's not watching me. He's not listening to me. He's not caring about me. You know, you're not a freak if you feel those things. You're not. There are plenty of other reasons why you're a freak this morning. But I guarantee you, that's not one of them. You felt that way. I felt that way. These people in Isaiah's time felt that way. But Isaiah's purpose was to remind them of their God. How big he is, how powerful he is, how mighty he is, and to move you and pull you out of that rut that you're in. He continues, and he comes back to his little catchphrase there. He says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Those of you who whine and complain or downtrodden and don't feel like God cares or listens or anything, do you not know that our God is an everlasting God? The creator of the ends of the earth, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Christians, we serve a God. We worship a God that does not know weakness. Aside from when he allows himself to be brought down to our level. He does not tire. He does not get weary. He does not get faint. And that's hard for us to conceptualize because we live in a world where things wear out, where things get old and they break and they spoil. And I was just talking to Roger and he was sharing with me about his past few weeks. Where is Roger? I just talked to him a few minutes. There he is, way back there. I asked him, I said, is it all right if I share that? Because that's just dead online with what I'm talking about this morning. He said that his furnace went out last week. Had to get his furnace fixed. His water heater went out Thursday. Had to get his water heater fixed. And his humidifier broke. He hasn't fixed that yet. His the line on his garage door, the tension, what is it, the spring? the cable. It broke, and poof, garage door hit the ground. You know, of course, he got a chance to fix the garage door, and he's fixing that. He's got the humidifier yet to fix, and he's sick to boot. Things wear out. Things break. We just went through some similar stuff. You know, we had a motor mount on my wife's car. I had to get it fixed. My car was dead. I had to get rid of it. Our water heater went out. Our bodies get old and they faint and they get weak and they wear out. Some of you are experiencing that more than others. But we all know it. For us to conceptualize a God who doesn't wear out, who doesn't grow faint, who doesn't get weak, that's hard for us to see. I remember one day I'll sometimes bring milk with me to work, and I'll eat my cereals. I'm starting to read things for the next week, and as I was eating my cereal that morning, I thought, man, this tastes kind of funny. And it, you know, cereals sometimes you get like a weird bite or something, you know. And I thought, this is kind of funny tasting to me, and I went ahead and ate it because I was probably into scripture or Facebook or, you know, whatever you do in the mornings, and went ahead and finished it up. I didn't get sick, thankfully, and went home, and Jesse said, you know, the milk smells funny. It's just, there's something wrong with it. It was still in date, so we don't know what happened to it. And so we talked about it, and we said, you know, we need to get rid of that milk. We need to get it out of there. Now, we buy multiple gallons of milk at a time. And so, on top of that, it was just one of those days. Kind of started off sour. And you guys know what I'm talking about, one of those days, right? And I got to the end of the day, and I'm on this eat six times a day plan, and I love it. And I encourage you to do it. It's awesome. And so that night, I wanted, for my sixth meal, I was going to go for some cereal because that's kind of a comfort food. And come on now, you're giving me the same look you gave me a few minutes ago. You're with me on this. Don't leave me out here to dry. You got comfort food. You do stuff like that too. Looking at me like I'm the only one in here that does that. All right, so I got into the cabinet, and I pulled out the sinner's Apple Jacks. All right, don't get on me, Joyce. I was careful. Apple Jacks have cinnamon in them, and cinnamon drop your blood sugar. So anyway, so I got into the, okay, I'm not even going to look her direction. She's giving me the waving, I'm going to get you. Joyce has been an amazing accountability person when it comes to watching what I eat. So I poured this bowl of my Apple Jacks, and I poured the milk on there, and went over and put it on the TV tray and sat down on the comfy couch, and it's quiet. The kids are in bed. My day's over. And I take a bite of, I mean, a big old bite. We didn't switch the milk out. It was sour and nasty, and we're used to that. We're used to things spoiling. We're used to things going bad. We're used to things, and we almost expect that out of people and out of things. And somehow I think we expect it out of our God. But we've got a God that's everlasting. Church, that's where your strength comes from, is from a God that's everlasting, that's not lacking in strength. That's where your power comes from, a God who's so powerful, he's put all the stars in place and he watches them and he knows them each by name. That's the intelligence of your God who cares for you, who loves you. And I ask you the same thing that Isaiah asked his listeners, do you not know? Do you not know? Have you not heard who your God is? But I think we forget. I think we forget who God is. We get distracted. We get self-centered. We get focused in on the wrong things. We get a tainted attitude. We start to lose faith because we've forgotten the God that we serve. This year, 2011, the messages, the lineup for this year, the sermons, man, I'm excited about these messages coming up. And the lineup is all under this umbrella of getting real. Because I believe that we need to see a real God, church. We need to be reminded. Do you not know? Have you not heard? We need to be reminded of the God that we serve. And every one of us are in here this morning, new year, brand new things. And we got this new and improved you. You know, very gimmicky. I wanted that. I wanted it as infomercial looking as I could. A brand new you, a new and improved you. And I believe a new and improved you, I believe all it takes is for you to get real with God. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. Is it that simple? Yeah. I believe so. And every message this next year is underneath that umbrella of getting real with God. The key to a new and improved you, it's not self-improvement. That's not the key. It's not self-esteem. That's not where it's at. It's not self-confidence. That's not it. The key to a new and improved you is simply connecting with the reality of who God is and adjusting your view of life through that reality. That's where a brand new you comes from. That's where a new and improved you comes from. So let's write a few things down. A new and improved me. We're going to kind of look at an overview of 2011 as we take some notes reflecting on Isaiah 40. A new and improved me believes in a real God and real truth. And we're going to connect with this idea specifically three times this next year. In February, we're going to be going into a series called True-ish. I believe a lot of us believe things that are true-ish when as Christians we should believe things that are true. There's a big difference, but we don't act like there is a lot of times. And we lose sight of reality. We lose sight of a real God. We forget the reality of our God because we have been trained to believe things that are true-ish. And we're going to be called back to believing things that are true, to see the reality of God. In July, we come back to this idea in a series called Practical Atheist. And the idea of Practical Atheist is that if you claim to believe in God but live as if you don't, then you might as well be an atheist. You're practically an atheist. If I claim to believe in God, but I live as if I don't, I'm practically an atheist. Making our faith real. And then Christmas Foretold is our Christmas 2011 series. Some of you guys are thinking, man, we just finished Christmas. Christmas 2011, it's ready. Easter of 2012, we got some ideas for that too. It's going to be going hand in hand with Christmas Foretold. Easter Foretold will be 2012, but that's a long way away. Christmas Foretold is all about the prophecy that leads up to Christmas and how that event, it's not just a little cute little story and little manger scenes that we put up around our house and we got to clean up this next week. It's a real story. It's a true story. It's a story that was planned for, a story that was organized, a story that was designed. So we're going to be looking at Christmas Foretold. The new and improved me resolves to focus on God and what really matters. That's what a new and improved me does. Because I believe one of the things that happens is our focus moves off of God and we have to ask ourselves, have you not heard? Do you not know? Because we get so distracted. We lose our focus. So we've got, once again, three series throughout the year spaced out to help us be reminded of that. The first series starts next week and it's called Give. It's a financial series, a series about stewardship, and it's a series about getting away from this entitlement attitude that a lot of us have. And gaining a heart of God, a generous heart of God. Our God is generous. We just came out of the Christmas season. Our God is generous. He loved the world so much, he gave his one and only son. That's generosity. So we as his people, we need to focus in on God. We need to focus in on what's important. And generosity is important. That's in Give. March, we'll do a series called Focus. That's what it's about, focus. I'm going to let you guys look at that for a little while. Let it mess with your eyes. Focus. And then a series that starts into the beginning of our school year, September, August, September area, is Woe Is Me. I've shared with you guys at different times there are sermon series that are tough for me to deliver because the whole time I'm studying through the week, it is whooping my tail. And I tell you what, this series is going to whoop my tail through the week, and I'm going to come in here and I want to let it whoop your tail on Sunday morning. All right, it is a series based around the woes that Jesus had with the Pharisees. And we resemble the Pharisees a lot more than I would like to admit. And that's going to be a humbling series, but we got to get real. And we got to learn to get our focus right and focus on what really matters. That's what's happened with the Pharisees. That's what happened with us. We get focused in on things that just don't deserve to have first place in our life. Moving on, the new and improved me admits and faces my weaknesses. The new and improved me admits and faces my weaknesses. In April, we have a series called Confessions of a Pastor. Some of you just got really nervous. Some of you just got really excited. I told you there were other reasons why you're a freak. All right. This series is exactly what it sounds like. We're getting real this year. I want to get real with you guys. I want to share with you some things that I struggle with. And some things that I'm hoping that, the way that God has helped me to deal with some of the things I struggle with, hopefully I can pass that on to you a little bit. And maybe we share a little more than we think we share. We're told that in Scripture that there's no sin that's uncommon. All sin is common to man. And so I'm going to share some things there. I'm going to get real with you. Because we need to get real with each other. We need to get real with God. And that's this whole year. Getting real. We got to get real, church. Then in the summer, starting the last week in May, going all the way through June and the beginning of July, is a series called Stressed Out. I was praying about it. I worked on that. I had a couple different logo ideas. And then when God gave me that one, I thought, yeah, that's it. Well, isn't that the way it feels like sometimes going through life? Whew. I feel like that orange fish often. Stressed out. We're going to get real with some things that just that take our focus off things and our places where we're weak and we have a hard time, we struggle, and it stresses us out. So stressed out. And our last one, I want to tell you this before you write this down. Do not pack up. There's some serious preaching coming in a minute. Don't pack up. But I want you to write down this last one. The last one is, the new and improved me depends on God. If he's real, shouldn't we depend on him? If he's all these things that Isaiah 40 says, shouldn't we lean on him? Shouldn't we trust in him? Don't pack up. I hear you rustling. Calm down. I drank a lot of caffeine. That is going to be shown through all the series. True-ish and Practical Atheist and Stressed Out and Woe Is Me. This whole idea of depending on God. But it's really going to culminate in a series that's going to be our Easter series, and it's called On the Hill with God. I'm excited about this series. This series is about going up on the hill and these different hills that God takes us up on. The first hill is going to be Easter Sunday, and it's going to be the hill of Golgotha. And then we're going to visit Moriah. We're going to visit, not Moriah Carey, the hill, the mountain Moriah. We're going to visit Moriah. We're going to visit, what's the other one, Mount Carmel. You wonder what those hills are, you're just going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait till Easter. This is what our 2011 looks like. Focusing on the reality of God. And we need this, church. We need to be brought back to a level understanding of who we serve, of who we worship, of who we call our Lord and King. On our way to Jesse's parents, they live way out in the middle of nowhere, and we're driving down these roads where your headlights just barely catch the road. It's so curvy, and it's so skinny, and it's so dark. And we're driving through there, and we come around a curve, and we see what looks to us to be like four or five chipmunks kind of chasing each other, and which was funny because I thought, because she slows down, and you know, I tell her, I said, I thought that was like four or five chipmunks. She said, I was thinking the same thing. They just looked like they were just playing and circling around, running each other. The closer we got, we realized it was just a bunch of dead leaves that got caught in a little whirlwind. But they looked just like these little cute chipmunks running around, playing around. And church, we need to be careful, because sometimes we look in the mirror and we see chipmunks when we're actually dead leaves. We look like we're alive, but we're dead. We look like we have life, like we're animated, but it's really just empty. We got to get real, church. While I was touring around to the different growth groups, sharing with them, I was in the Life Matters group, and I felt like the Spirit had given me something to say that wasn't in my notes, and I paused, and I froze. And the whole group could feel it. I had to say something about it. I couldn't just, you know, play it off like I was smooth or whatever. But, you know, and I think they all think that I lost my place in my notes. They're like, oh no, Dusty's lost. And I told him, I said, I want to apologize to you if this is not from the Spirit. But I don't want to apologize later to God if it was and I didn't share it. And what the Spirit had shared with me there was that we have an arrogance at our church. And I believe that arrogance is holding us back. We're an arrogant people. If you're visiting here, if you're a guest here with us this morning, then don't think we're a bad church. Our church rocks. It's a great church, but we have an arrogance here that needs to be dealt with. We think we know it all. We think we've arrived. We don't think we need to listen to our leadership. We question this. We question that. We ask, where's this for me? What am I getting out of it? What about this? What about that? What about me, 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 me? We have an arrogance. It's caused an authority defiance disorder. It's caused all sorts of things in our church, and we need to get rid of it. And I believe wholeheartedly that if we come into a realistic understanding of who our God is real, our God is big, our God is powerful, our God is moving, that is going to drop our arrogance. We're not going to even have to worry about trying to get rid of the arrogance. Then the attitude and a knowledge of the reality of God will get rid of that. Because our focus won't be on me, it'll be on God. Our worship will not be centered around what I enjoy or what I like. It'll be centered around what God's going to get from this worship. Our service is not what I feel comfortable doing or what I get out of it or what pleases me. Our service is going to be based on what we can give to God. All right, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to amen myself. Amen! Come on now, that deserves an amen. We got to get real, people. And it means believing in a God that we worship that is a real God, that is a powerful God, that is a mighty God. We are stagnant right now. We are complacent. And I ask you, in the same words of Isaiah, do you not know? Have you not heard about the God you just sung to this morning? Because if you really knew him, you wouldn't be complacent. You wouldn't be able to sit still. You wouldn't be comfortable with where you are. You wouldn't be saying, you know, well, I like a small church life. You know, a small church means that we're not reaching the people that we could be reaching, that we should be reaching. It means that we're not excited about God. So break out of the complacency, church, and do it by simply believing in a real God. So what do we need to do as we jump into this venture of 2011? What are some action points we can do today? Well, the first one is to leave your fake face in 2010. That sounds harsh, but it's real. Leave the Christian mask in yesterday. December 31st, that was 2 days ago. Leave it. Take it off. Let's get real. Leave your arrogance, leave your pride in 2010. Do not carry them over into 2011. There is no place for your arrogance at Miami Town Church of Christ. There are more important things than you, than me. That's awful negative. What are some positive things we can do? Positive action steps, and these are very simple, so don't blow them off because they're elementary. They are. Extremely powerful, and I hope that my heart can communicate to your heart the power of this next action step, and it is simply believe. Oh, we say we believe, but what I mean is I mean a real something that I just can't get out of my heart into my mouth. That's why I'm hoping my heart communicates to your heart. I mean believe. Have faith in a God that is real. That is bigger than any authority figure we've got here on earth. That is bigger than anything that we've got. He's around the earth. He's enthroned, circling the earth. He does not grow tired. He is everlasting. Believe that, church. Next action step, very simple, pray. Just pray. If you've forgotten the reality of God, then you've probably stopped praying. Because why are you going to talk to someone that you don't believe in? Start talking to him. Pray about yourself. Pray about your brothers and sisters here. Pray about the lost that we need to reach. Pray about this church. Pray for the leadership here. Pray for the messages. Pray for the growth groups. Pray for the small groups. Pray for the groups that we don't even know that are going to be formed yet. Pray. Pray. Get into your word. Get into God's word. Some of us have gotten away from that. It's a new year. Start doing some things new. Don't just wait for Sunday morning. Ask me. Call me up on the phone. Hey, what's this Sunday? What's the scripture? I can give you next Sunday scripture. It's out of Philippians chapter 4. In fact, we're going to spend 3 weeks in Philippians chapter 4 in our give series. Don't wait till next Sunday to start reading it. Read Philippians 4 every day this week and come ready. Come prepared. Go home today and read Isaiah chapter 40 and be lifted up and encouraged by that, empowered by that. And when you feel down, you start whining, go back to Isaiah 40 and read it. Get in your word. And the last action point there is just simply lean on God. If you believe that God is there, you believe that God is real, and you don't depend on him, if you don't lean on him, then it's very easy to forget that he's there because you don't see him. But I guarantee you, when you place your faith in him and you are leaning on God, you will feel his presence, his pressure against you, holding you up. But you won't feel that unless you're leaning on him. You won't experience the reality of God if you're not doing things that place your faith in him. Church, I'm ready for a new and improved me. Are you ready for a new and improved you? Let's do it. 2011. I'm excited.